gathering his house again tonight. I was telling Jane the other day, I get these little things come on, little tiffs, little small things that ain't worth a hill of beans, you know. And Jane was talking about one of her members and stuff that was really going through some hard times, suffering, sick. And it'll make you slow down and think about how good the Lord is to you. And make you realize that the little old things that you're worrying about most of the time ain't worth a hill of beans. Not worth a hill of beans. If you have your Bible, let's go to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1. Still studying and still looking at the wisdom of God. And how that we desperately need the wisdom of God in our lives and in this old world that we're living in. That sin abounds on every hand. He said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, said to know wisdom and instruction. Do you listen to what the scripture says right there. It says, to know wisdom and instruction. If you're going to know wisdom, you got to have a little bit of instruction in your life. That means that you've got to be able to be instructed. And you know, sometimes we get so high up on the ladder and stuff that we feel like we don't need no instruction. And God's always there for us trying to instruct us if we'll slow down long enough to listen. He said to perceive or to take in the words of understanding. It is amazing to me. God teaches through the Holy Ghost. He blesses us through the Holy Ghost. He teaches through the Holy Ghost. But we have the greatest wisdom right here in this Bible. We have the greatest wisdom that's available to us in this Bible and in this world, in this day and time that we're living in. It said to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. I got to that right there, and that equity throws me off just a little bit. I had to get that old 1962 dictionary out. I wanted to see what it had to say about that word equity and how that it went. And this is what it said. It said justice and just regard to right or claim. Impartiality, the administration of law according to it. Now listen, it said the administration of law according to its spirit and not according to the letter. And that really stuck in my mind because that's man's definition. I mean, that's what man's definition of equity is. And that is the administration of the law according to its spirit. And not according to the letter. Because when you think about law, you think about the letter of the law and where it goes and what's got to be done. Because according to the letter of the law, if you are found guilty of a crime, then you've got to serve the time. But the good Lord don't look at us like that. He don't look at us like that because God gave Moses the law. And that law was true. And it was steadfast. But He gave us the Spirit as well. And you know, when I was reading and when I was studying this, I was reading in the book of 2 Corinthians. And I want to go there and I want to read this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read a little bit more than just that. But I was reading this book, or reading this chapter, and God brought a little bit more out to me on that right there. Paul began writing in verse 1, he said, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some others epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Now, Paul was writing here about commendations, recommendations. And Paul was asking this question. He said, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? And I got to thinking when I was reading that and stuff that morning and stuff, I got to thinking about the pride of life and how man is. Man wants recognition. But the Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And I was reading that and I began to think about some other scriptures. And I got to chasing a rabbit when I was doing that. But the Bible said, and we read this not too long ago, and as a matter of fact, Brother Jerry read it last week. He said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now listen, he said, for men shall be lovers of their own self, boasters, and proud. And we living in a world nowadays and stuff that's all people do is they think about themselves. They're very self-centered, very self-willed. They're not concerned about anybody else. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And the more you go that way toward this old flesh, the further you get away from the Lord. And this old world is heading in that direction. It's heading in that direction away from the Lord. And we better get our eyes and our thoughts and our hearts set on the Lord. There were some scriptures in the book of Proverbs concerning pride, and I want to read that to you. Proverbs chapter 6. Begin with verse 16. And God's word said, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, and the first thing that it leads off with is a proud look. That's the very first thing. What cast Lucifer out of heaven? It was pride. He wanted to be equal with God. And there are people in this world today and stuff that you'll see them on TV, well, I am God. And you wonder, you know, just where are we going in this old world? We're going where the Bible says we're going to go. And it's fulfilling every day that we live. But here he says right here, he said that there are six things that the Lord hates, and seven are abominations. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Now, listen to that right there, and that's feet that be swift in running to mischief. I've never seen a time in my life when people want to get up and see what's going on the other side of the fence in somebody else's yard. In somebody else's yard, wanting to get across the fence, let me see. Let me get over there. Why do you want to do that? Sometimes I think it's because I want to see how much trouble somebody else has got. And I want to see where that trouble is coming from. And I want to see if that trouble will make me feel better about myself. Feel better about myself. And then what did it say right here? Listen, he said a false witness. Now, not just feet that be swift and run into mischief, but a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, I want you to listen to what the scripture says right there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The house of God should be a house of love. Now, I'm not talking about loving sin. I'm not talking about loving the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, we want to live in a world and stuff where everybody wants to admit everything's all right. Everything's all right. This is all right. That's all right. You come on in. Come on in like you are. Well, that's true. Come on in like you are, because we can't do anything for you or to you. But I know a Heavenly Father that can change everything about you. Change everything about you. If you can get them there where they can hear the Word of God, be there where the Holy Ghost is present. See, that's something that's so very important and stuff, is the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we want to skip over the Holy Ghost and stuff. You know, I grew up in a church where the Holy Ghost was very important. The Holy Ghost is our guide in this old world down here below, and He's our comforter. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter, which is going to take care of you. He's going to see after you. There ought to be a house of love, and there ought not be no reason looking over somebody else's fence, unless you want to look over that fence and say, what's going on? Can I help you? Can I help you? Let's get together and let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Let's seek His will. Let's see what we can be doing to help one another. Because that's what we're missing in this world today. We want to turn our back on one another. And the Bible tells us for us to bear one another's burdens. So Paul said, do we need letters of recommendation or letters of commendation? You see, I'm going to say something right there and stuff. You know, we like those kind of things. Now, it's hard to believe that when I was in the military, and my wife will tell you, I got a file folder full of letters of recommendation for all the trouble that I stayed in when I was in the service because of my mouth. Because service and mouth don't mix. It don't mix. As I told you one time before, a man asked my daddy. He said, Grover, who's that working with? That's my boy. Said, can you teach him anything? Said, you might ask him something, but you're not going to tell him nothing. And when I was supervising at the sewing plant, they had this little thing come up one time. It wasn't a one time in my life, but it was one of the times in my life that they had messed up some coats in another shop. But they wanted me to fix them in my shop, that we were the ones that was causing the problem. Well, I'd been at that sewing plant for a lot of years, and I'd been in and out of business. I know what was going on. And so two of the big bosses, they were just really jumping down my throat, telling me what I was going to do, and I was telling them, you're going to fix it where the source is. You're going to take this mess back, and you're going to redo it like it's supposed to be done. I said, I'm not fixing your messes. So they got the third big boss involved, or he involved himself. Called me down there one day, had a coat laying on his desk, and I walked in. I said, if you call me down here to start on me about them things, I'm going to tell you the same thing I done told everybody else. I'm not fixing that mess. It didn't come out of my shop, it come out of another shop. And this was an old man. And his eyebrows grew straight up. And they was about 4 inches taller than the top of his head. And he looked at me with that old squinted look. He said, Wisner, he said, I'm trying to help you. He said, can you shut your big mouth long enough for that to be done? Or are you going to keep on talking? So this is another one of them situations I had to ask myself, well, can you shut your big mouth, Lee, long enough for this man to help you? So all through my life I've had these struggles and troubles, and I got these letters of recommendation. I mean, just piles of them while I was in service. And it's nice for somebody to give you a letter of recommendation. It's nice for somebody to notice the kind of job you do. But I want to talk to you about the biblical sense of this thing and what the good Lord said about it. Because see, what we say and what we think is just what the Lord said. The Lord said, your way of thinking is not my way of thinking. It's not my way. Let me read you some scriptures concerning this right here. Let me go to the book of Ephesians. See, it don't hurt to run a rabbit every now and then. Ephesians chapter 6, Begin with verse 5 and listen to what God's Word says about these things. He said, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness or sincerity of your heart, as unto Christ." Now listen, not with eye service. You know what that is? That's when they're watching you. I'm going to do right because the boss is watching me. I'm going to do right because I think the Lord is watching me. Problem with that is the Lord's always watching. He's always watching. But he says here, he said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, while you on your job, now we're talking about a job, and somebody has asked me before and stuff, said, "Lee, you like your job?" I said, "I ain't never liked the job I had." I said, "I've always had to go, but I ain't never had one I like." I said, "I'm thankful to the good Lord that he's blessed me to pay my bills, but I ain't always wanted to go." You know, so, but this is what the Bible says now. It says for us to do our jobs as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We're supposed to do our jobs just like we're supposed to serve the Lord, straight from our heart. Now that's what God's Word says. See, that's the beautiful thing about God's Word and stuff. You can find an answer for everything you want to know about in God's Word. All you got to do is dig. All you got to do is dig. You know what we do? We let other things get in our way to keep us from digging in the Word of God. We let other things get in our way to keep us from getting on our knees and praying to the Lord, from spending time with the Lord. We let this whole world occupy our minds and occupy our hearts instead. We let the devil get us away from what we need to be doing. But there's coming a day and stuff, brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's coming a day, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to worship and praise and serve the Lord because He's worthy to be worshipped and to be praised. That's going to be our job one of these days. And I'll have a job then, brother. How long am I going to? Won't mind going to it. I'll be home. I was born in this old world on April 3rd, 1956, but I've never been home, Brother Ken. I ain't been home yet. But I'm on the road home. I look back over my life at all the mistakes that I've made and all the failings, and sometimes we won't call them mistakes when they're nothing in the world but sin. Nothing in the world but sin. I look back at all the sins and shortcomings in my life, but I'm still on my journey home. Not because of what I've done, not because of what I've done, but because of what He did on an old rugged cross, because I had a Father that loved me so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is time that the church spoke to the world instead of the world speaking to the church. It is time, but the Bible says here, He said, not with our services men pleasing, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever, now listen to this, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You know what the Lord is saying right there? He said, listen, you do right on your job, do good on your job, and you know what? I'm going to do good for you. I'm going to do good for you. Now listen, when it says that right there, now sometimes we want to look too far beyond that spectrum. There's nothing wrong with looking because the Lord is not limited. Sometimes we say, Lord, you're going to bless me. I know you are. I get up in the morning, walk out there in that driveway of mine, going to be a brand new car that you left sitting there last night. And a sack of money in the back seat. That does not mean that that's what's going to happen. That does not mean that the job you do, you put your heart into it and you're doing it to the Lord, that boss man of yours is going to give you a raise every weekend it rolls around. It does not mean that. But you know what it says he's doing? He says you're doing this labor on your job the same as you're laboring toward the Lord. And if you're laboring toward the Lord, you know what he says? I'm going to do good to you and I'm going to take care of you. Now I'm going to tell you something. If a good Lord tells you he's going to take care of you, you're going to get took care of. May not be exactly the way you want it, but buddy, you'll pass through this whole world better than a lot of people would. I'd rather have the Lord's blessing upon me and I had be any drunkard laying on the side of the street somewhere. Now I'm going to just tell you. We get back to the scriptures over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul's talking about letters of commendation and all these things. And he said to the people there at Corinth, this is what he said. He said, ye, because these people, this was one of the churches that Paul established. He said, ye are our epistle. He said, the church is our epistle. It is our letter written in our hearts, known and read of all men. He said, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Now listen to what the scripture says there. He said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now Paul knew where his bread was buttered at. He said, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And then I read this. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. Now, what did I read? What go from Mr. Webster? He said, justice, just regard to right or claim impartiality, the administration of law according to its spirit and not according to the letter. And then we read this scripture. He said, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the spirit. Said, for the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And I thought I had an old dictionary that would explain what words meant. And then there I was reading that morning, and God just gave me the definition right out of his own Bible, and he said, see, here it is, Lee, in my own words, he said, this equity, this kind of equality is not man's equality, where you are condemned to the letter of the law. For the law was given that man might know sin and know that he had no hope of escaping sin. God gave the law as a schoolmaster. And we stayed under the schoolmaster until the fullness of time came about that he would send his son, born of a virgin, into this world to die on an old rugged cross, to take the sting of the letter of the law off of us so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I am amazed every time I pick God's Word up and go to read it at things that He points out to me as many times, and I've read the Bible through time and time and time again, but you never going to get all of God's Word. You're never going to get all of God's Word because God is going to, if you are seeking God's will in your life, if you are seeking Him to teach you, if you are seeking Him to be there, the most important thing in your life, God is going to teach you by His Word and by the precious Holy Ghost of God. You can depend on it. Let's go back to Proverbs. chapter 1, begin back with verse 4. He said, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, we're talking about the wisdom of God. And I like that word right there, too. It said to give. See, our Lord's all about giving. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Lee. I'm not all the time always about giving. I told my wife about a little incident that happened today and stuff, and the good Lord got on to me about that after I got home. It bothered me when it happened, and it got worse as I journeyed home. And the good Lord reminded me that I need to be like Him, and I need to be willing to give. Sometimes we want to hold on to things when we don't realize that things are not ours to hold on to. We don't own anything. There's not nothing that we own. Not one thing. So, my Father and my Savior and the Holy Ghost are givers. They're givers. They give to everybody that seeks the Lord. Everybody that seeks the Lord. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Listen to what the Bible says there. He said, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A wise man will hear and increase learning. That's the reason, that's probably a real good reason that the Bible says for us to be swift to hear and slow to speak. You know, sometimes what we got to say, unless we are worshiping and praising the Lord for being good to us, sometimes what we got to say ain't worth a whole lot. I mean, I know what kiwi tastes like. For you who don't know that shoe polish. Well, I've had my foot in my mouth a lot of my life. A whole lot of my life I've had to back up and apologize. And I'll go ahead and tell you now, I'm not too good to apologize. I will apologize to you in a heartbeat. I will do that in a heartbeat. But I want to do what God wants me to do. I have people come up to me and tell me, Lee, would you pray for this person in my family? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you, and the good Lord knows what I'm thinking, tell you the truth. There's so many that this little old mind of mine can't remember. And so in my drawer in the prayer room, I've got a list of names on the prayer list. And I'll get them down and I'll read them to the Lord. Now let me tell you something about that. See, I don't have to read them to the Lord. He already knows them. But I think it's important that we put a little effort into what we're doing. I'm not talking about observing days and times and all this kind of stuff, you know, and OCB. I'm talking about, you know, wanting to pray for somebody to help them. And Jane was telling me today, and I don't know who put it on the phone, but story goes that a woman had requested prayer. And listen, what I'm saying here, now I'm going to tell you how I am. If I say something at this place, I'll tell it at this place over here. Because I'm not going to say something behind your back that I won't tell you to your face. So now you have to be careful with me. If you want the truth, don't keep pushing an issue, because I will tell you the truth. And people that really know me will tell you that. See, Brother Randy, when you were talking about that guy turning his back on you that day and stuff when you were trying to talk to him, I'd have to get him by the necktie and turn him back around. Because I'm not accustomed to talking to people back of the head. If it's business. I mean, if I was carrying on silliness, that'd be one thing. But if it's business, I want to see you eyeball to eyeball. I used to tell people when I was supervising, babysitting. I said, don't run in my eyes back and forth. You look at me when I'm talking to you. Or I sort of see inside of you. But if you want the truth, from me you're going to get it. But somebody had posted a thing on the phone on Joel Osteen. And this thing on Joel Osteen, this woman was requesting prayer. And she got a thing back that said, you're not on the prayer list. Now when it said prayer list, they talking about their prayer list. In order for you to be on the prayer list, it's $24.95 a month. $24.95 a month, and I think, was it four times? Was it four times you could request prayer during the course of that month, or three? It was just three? Okay, you don't get as much for your money as you thought. It's what Jane said, and Jane don't usually say a whole lot. Jane's not like me. Jane's a quiet person. She's a humble person. She's a very sweet person. Why in the world she ever married me? I'll never know. She said, I think what I would do, I would just seek the Lord myself. I said, you would want somebody to seek Him that knows Him. That knows Him. Because it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to seek the Lord, seek God, and leave Jesus out of it. And if you are scared to say Jesus on the television, you probably scared to say Jesus in a prayer. So, you know, bring it up. Of course, now, listen, for those of you and stuff, you know, who want to venture out there, I think they got a special for, what was it, Jane? It was more than that. You got 10 prayers that month. Bless your old heart. You're moving on up then. Getting right back and stuff. You know, what did the Bible say? To give subtlety to the simple. To give. My God is a giver. My Father is a giver. My Savior is a giver. Let me tell you something. If He wasn't a giver, wouldn't be none of us sitting here tonight. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, wouldn't be none of us sitting here tonight, because we wouldn't have a hope in the world. Paul said, I'd be above all men most miserable if I had hope in this world alone. If that's all I got, just leave me alone. Let me die. But my Father is a giver. He loves us. He takes care of us. We need to take care of one another. We need to pray one for another. Said, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now you listen to that right there, church. I have shared this with you before. Now, I'm going to tell you just like it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, the fear of the Lord, you can have a reverent fear. That's fine and that's great. I think we need to do that. But I'm going to tell you something else. You better have a real fear of the Lord, because He is God and He's able to do anything that He wants to do. You better have a real fear of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This world has forgot about a fearful thing. That God is God and we are nothing. We are nothing. Everybody since the fall of man was headed toward a devil's hell. Except for God and His Son. Everybody was headed for a devil's hell. God could wipe us out and still be God. Never be a second thought to it. We're not worthy of His mercy. We're not worthy of His grace. And we're not worthy of His kindness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Listen, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So now what are you going to say about the world today? The Bible says they despise wisdom and instruction. Man keeps on attaining to all these things, all these what's that word? Techo. Help me out, Brother Randy. Yeah, technicalities. That's it. All these things and stuff, you know, it goes on. Man just gets smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter. And does never realize just how dumb he is. Never realize just how dumb he is. Because when you can take someone who's running in a government race and say, we don't need farmers, we've got grocery stores, something's wrong. Now, I mean, I'm just telling you, say what you want to now, but I'm just telling you, look at man's wisdom. Now, if you want to look at wisdom, look at man's right there. Said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. We talked about this before too. We talked about mama and daddy. Now I'm going to tell you something. Things are different now. This is Lee's opinion. You tell me after service, Lee, your opinion's wrong. Let me tell you mine. That's fine. We'll be all right. But my opinion on kids nowadays is a problem with the kids. Is the mamas and daddies. Now, when I was growing up, there wasn't no question who mama and daddy was. You didn't have to think about it. My daddy is my good friend. My mama's my good friend. My mama beat the tar out of me. She just don't like me, you know. That's the way mama was. I've never heard my mama say first time, when your daddy gets home, you gonna get it. No, it was available. Matter of fact, I told my mama one time, we was in church, and I don't know what I was doing, because I sat on the bench with my mama and daddy. I mean, I was a great old big boy. I was still in a little bassinet, about 19 years old. But I was still on the bench with mama and daddy. But I was a teenager. Mama told me, she said, when we get home, you mine. So I prepared myself, because I've always been a fast thinker. My mind go in gear just like that. And daddy had two belts. He had a work belt and a sunny belt. And his old work belt used to hang over one of them lighted lamp posts. Y'all remember them things? Had a spring in it. You put it on the floor and mash it down and stuff, stand it up and sit, and it was just a pole with two lights hanging on it. And my mama, she didn't say a word coming home. So when we got there, daddy unlocked the door. I run on in the house, went in there to where that pole was and got my daddy's work belt. Went in there to my mom and told my mom, said, the only reason you had me was to whip me, go ahead. And buddy, you know what she did do that? She took advantage of that in a heartbeat. I mean, she laid me down. I've shared this with you before. Zorro on Walt Disney took whipping lessons from my mama. She would strap you from one end to the other, sound just like a helicopter. Boop, 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 boop. But it says right here, he said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. We've talked about this. Well, why did mama and daddy say those same things over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? My granddaughter tells me now, you've already told me, and I'm going to tell you again. See, now, Mama Jane, she's real humble and she won't say a whole lot. But now I ain't that way. I didn't grow up like that. And as long as I'm helping you, taking care of you, you're going to listen to me. You're going to listen to me. Because you're not so big, I still won't scrap them gimbally little legs. Mom and daddy said things over and over and over again because they had what? They done been through the same things that you're going through. And they didn't want you to have to suffer those things. Why does the Lord tell us over and over and over and over again? Because He does not want us to suffer. He does not want us to suffer. He loves us. He said, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. Listen to this. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. You know, if you will listen to what mom and daddy tells you, if you will listen to what the good Lord tells you, it's going to be just like a little bell hanging around your neck. You're going to be reminded of it every day it goes by. Every time that little bell rings, you're going to be reminded of stuff what the Lord has said, because He said it for a reason. I said a while ago, it's not important a lot of times what we say. And it's not. But what the Lord says is for a reason, and it's important. It's important. We talked about this. He said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Listen to what the Bible says there. He said, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You remember what I told you? Nobody wants to be in trouble by theyself. Nobody wants to be in trouble by themselves, and nobody wants to be under dominion by themselves. This whole world, this is what the world tells you. Try this. You'll like it. Try it. You'll like it. They already tried it, and it's got a grip on them. They're in bondage. They don't want to be in bondage to it by themselves, so they want you in bondage with them. So the Bible tells us right here, He said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. All kinds of promises. He said, come on, go with us. And you have more than you ever thought about having. And that's the way the devil does. The devil paints a beautiful painting. He painted Eve a painting there in the garden. And he got her to looking at that tree. And the Bible says when she saw that it was appealing to the eye and good for fruit, she did take of it. You see how the devil works? He paints a picture, gets your eyes on that painting. What you got to do is shut them eyelids or turn your head one. Because he's not going to tempt you with something that you don't want. He's going to tempt you with something that's appealing to you. And then before you know it, you're going to be stepped off into it. And it's just like stepping off a deep bank into a deep, deep hole. And the Lord warns us about that. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. I appreciate your attention tonight, Brother Mike. I'm going to stop right there.